2 Samuel 6 has one of the more well-known events that takes place within its verses, within the chapter. And we will focus on that particular event, but there's other things that happens in the chapter as well that's certainly worth mentioning. We begin in 2 Samuel 6. The first couple of verses begins the kind of the background to what's happening. Remember, David's been anointed over the whole nation. Last week, you know, they had gathered and the whole nation was there. It says, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. Now remember what had just happened. The country had been unified, right? They had been, before that, they had been worshiping in Hebron. And remember, he went and took Jerusalem as a, we might say, a neutral site, because the Jebusites had been there for, centuries, really, 300 or 400 years. And so now they're moving to Jerusalem. Now, what is the significance and why is he so concerned about getting the Ark of the Covenant now to Jerusalem? And there's probably a lot of reasons for it, but...
I guess it wasn't, though. It had been in the hands of Philistines for a long time, and they moved it to Abinadab's house, I think.
The Philistines didn't want it, right? They had it for a while, and they wanted to get rid of it. Yeah, that was way back in early parts of 2 Samuel. But something that happens in this chapter refers back to what happened with the Philistines. And that's a, when we get to that point, we'll talk about that. You know, he's trying to unite all the different people and moving the worship site to Jerusalem, where it's never been. I mean, Jerusalem's kind of been a pagan city for centuries. And so he wants to move the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, there, okay? You know, he's wanting, and I think one of the main reasons, is he's wanting Jerusalem to be the central place of worship now. And it can't be really without the Ark of the Covenant there, without the Ark of God. And so he's wanting that to, you know, again, help unite all the people. Because the people know that the Ark of the Covenant is there, then that's going to, in their minds anyway, make them more understand and see how important it is that worship be there in Jerusalem. Of course, later, David's son's going to build the temple and everything there, but the Ark of the Covenant needs to be there. So they need this for to be their central place of worship. So it says, they set the Ark of God. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Well, there's some more very vital information for us. As Dean brought up, the Philistines, remember, had taken it in battle way back in the early part of 1 Samuel. And they didn't want it. It brought, you might say, bad luck to them. So they wanted to get rid of it. And you remember how they transported it from Philistine territory to the house of Abinadab?
Cows.
Yeah, cows were pulling a cart. Remember, and it depended on what the cows did as to what the outcome was going to be. But they transported it on a cart. All right? They transported it on a cart. Now, it's been at Abinadab, and notice the two people who you might say have grown up with the ark. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab. So they had been in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, well, for at least, it had been there at least 20 years. The Ark of the Covenant had been there in the house for at least 20 years. I think it was actually more than that, but I know it was there 20 years. So these two, Uzzah and Ahio, grew up literally in the shadow of the Ark of the Covenant. And I think that might have something to do with what happens. Because they grew up with something, and over that time, if you're not careful, you can start to treat something that's very holy as something very common. And I think that might have happened to Uzzah in this case. You know, it was something that he saw every day, and he just didn't put possibly the significance on it that he should, because like it says in verse 2, you know, is between the cherubim, that was God's presence. And certainly the lesson for us today is we can, if we don't continue to focus on what we're doing, and I'm thinking about the Lord's Supper in particular, we can start taking it for granted, which I think Uzzah did with the ark. You know, because we partake of it every week, which we're supposed to, but if we don't think about why we're doing, that's why the Bible tells us to be careful about always remembering why you're doing it in the first place. Then it can become a common thing. It can become common like the ark was for Uzzah. So I think there's a real application there about these things and about worshiping, period. And I'm talking about the assembly. That can be taken for granted too and not understood to be as important as it really is. You know, some people, you know, if they come together once every year, you know, that's a lot for them. Well, of course, we don't. You know, we come at least three times a week. Usually the ones that are here right now come three times a week. And so if we're not careful, we can treat it as something not as important as it is. But it is very.
Well, they've had been stationary for so long that nobody was even bothering with
it. That's right.
The way, so they put that
check. Yeah, exactly. And it can happen. I mean, that same lesson can happen every generation with God's people. And it does. And it has. And it probably will again. Yes, David.
One could say that Uzzah knew better.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Oh, absolutely. He knew better.
He really had no excuse.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't any at all. And I think that's partially the reason why God did what he did. Because there wasn't any excuse. And you know, we don't have any excuse for not assembling. We know why we should do it. We don't have an excuse for not partaking of the Lord's Supper and understanding its significance. We all know why. So, you know, we don't have any excuse for those things either. Because, like was brought up, we know better. And I think that's another lesson. It'll come up here when we talk about this, especially in the next few verses, because see what happens? They drove the new cart, and that was exactly what the Philistines had done. They had got a cart and drove it. They had put it on the cart and drove it back to Abinadab's or in that area. So they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. So we might say David and the others were celebrating. They were joyous at this. Even though they had known it was there, as was brought up, for years, and nobody had done anything with it. It just sat there for years and years. Now when they're bringing it to Jerusalem, now they are excited about it, which they should be, because it's going to be in the new place of worship. Even though the place of worship hadn't been built yet as far as the building, it was still going to be the focus of their worship. So, as should be, they were happy. So, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And we'll stop there before we go any further. It was on the cart being driven, I guess you want to call it that, to Jerusalem. But of all the people, Uzzah and Ahio should have known better. They weren't allowed to put it on a cart. They might have been thinking, you know, well, the Philistines did it, so I can do it. You know, sometimes that happens in the church today. Well, we see certain religious groups do this or that, and it seems to be something that's good for them. And so we think, well, then it'll probably be good for us. Well, they didn't have the authority to put it on a cart. If we go back to Exodus 25, we'll see one reason why they weren't supposed to. Exodus 25, and beginning in verse 12, this is talking about the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. 10 and 11 talks about what it was made of and how big it was. And it wasn't that big. You know, it's about the size of a decent-sized suitcase nowadays, and that was about it. It was pretty small. Verse 12, you shall cast four rings of gold for it and put them in its four corners. Two rings shall be on one side and two rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. Them referring to the particular order of the Levites that he mentions. So it was to be what?
Carried.
They were never, ever given authority to put it on a cart. It was always to be carried, and we'll see in a minute, only by certain individuals. It was only a very select group of people that were ever allowed to carry it. And they weren't allowed to touch it. They, you know, the pole had to be slid in the rings, and then they picked up the pole. They weren't allowed to touch the ark either. They just were allowed to carry it. And this was something God was very serious about. You know, unfortunately, many in the so-called Christian world aren't very serious about anything when it comes to the Bible. They're just not serious about it. They think God will excuse anything as long as they're sincere and wanting to do what's right. You know, God will accept it. I don't think there's any doubt that Uzzah was sincere. I mean, he didn't want the ark to get hurt or bumped or scratched or fall off or broken. So he was certainly sincere about it. It wasn't the idea of whether he was sincere or not. He had good intentions. But good intentions are never enough. And what a tremendous lesson that is, principle for the religious world. Good intentions are not enough. They're necessary. They're part of it. You have to have good intentions.
Like I heard that saying that the road to hell is led by good and bad intentions.
Yeah, paved with good intentions.
And
Uzzah kind of shows that here. Uzzah shows the same thing. You know, sincerity and good intentions, they're absolutely essential. Absolutely. There's no way you can please God if you don't have the right attitude. If you're not sincere, if you don't have the right intentions, the good intentions, you can't please God. But, again, that's never enough. That's not what God, everything that God requires of us. You know, He's God and we're not, and that's what's really critical. So Uzzah steadied it, didn't want it to fall or to bump, whatever you might want to call it. He of all people, like I mentioned this a while ago, should have known better. He was a Levite. He was, if we read, I think it's in Numbers 4, he was of the particular tribe, the Kohathites, who were allowed to carry it. So, you know, more than any other group of people in the whole nation, he should have known that you weren't supposed to touch it and that you were to carry it on poles and not on carts. So it wasn't ignorance by any means. He knew exactly what God wanted, but he reacted. So he reacted and didn't think. You know, God, if it was going to fall and get bumped, God could have stopped it, couldn't he? He certainly had the power to do whatever. He could have kept it from falling, getting bumped, whatever, getting broken. I mean, if that was going to be a problem, God could take care of it. It wasn't Uzzah's power or ability or whatever to do that. He just wasn't allowed to do it. So I think one thing we can learn besides just being the sincere and the good intentions part is that, you know, the ark was going to be part of the worship, part of the temple, and is going to be there in Jerusalem. But worship is about God, and it's not about us. It's kind of, that's kind of flip-flopped in our society. Worship is now about us instead of about God in most religious groups. But it's supposed to be about God. And we learn from this that we can't just do what we want, regardless of how sincere we are, and expect God to put a stamp of approval on it. And again, that seems to be a very popular mindset in the religious world. Well, if I'm doing it, you know, I might say I'm doing it for God, or I'm saying, well, maybe this is a good thing, but that doesn't mean God's going to put his stamp of approval on it just because I think it's a good thing or the right thing to do. It doesn't work. David, was that it? Yeah. Yeah, there aren't any others, right? That's true. That's it. They were told specifically, you know, exactly how to make the ark and everything about the ark, how it was to be carried, who could carry it, and every little detail about that was given. It was all given. And unfortunately, he just didn't listen. So we see what happened. You know, God's, it says his anger was aroused. And he died there right by the ark. And notice what it says, at least in the New King James, it says, and God struck him there for his error. See, he did something wrong. That was just it. He did something wrong. And because of that, it says God struck him down. So, David became angry. That was David's reaction in verse 8. He became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite, and the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, David, being king, had a great responsibility. And one of the responsibilities was to know what God wanted, because he was the leader of the whole people. So he had a responsibility to know what to do, how to do it, the right way to do it, and that rested on his shoulders. And so his reaction, while it might have been, you know, something that just happened, he still should have realized very quickly, even though he realizes it later, but he should have realized and never have allowed it to be carried like it was on the cart. Because that was just asking for trouble. Just asking for trouble. And of course it ended in somebody's death. So while it was certainly primarily Uzzah's responsibility, but David was partially responsible because he, again, was the leader. And the leaders always have some responsibility. So, we'll find out in a minute what David had to do. And let's go to 1 Chronicles. This is also recorded in 1 Chronicles 26. And it includes one thing that we can read here. 1 Chronicles 26, verse 4. That doesn't look right. I thought I read this. Does anyone know what verse I read? Can anybody remember this week? Well, I don't. It talks about what David did. 1 Chronicles 26. Well, why did I write? Let's see. 13. I don't remember.
Chronicles 15.
Yeah,
15:1. Yeah, that's not what it was either, but
that's not it either.
That's it. I don't know really what I was thinking about. I really don't have the idea. Maybe it's a code.
Verse 15:2 is pretty interesting. It looks like David learned his lesson.
Oh. I was reading the wrong scripture with the wrong thing. First Chronicles 15, yeah. Whoever said 1 Chronicles 15, 13. Yeah, that was it. 15:13 says, "For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order." That was the verse I was looking for. Just looking on the wrong line. Didn't do it according to the proper order. And that made a difference to God. Made a huge difference. So David understood now. I mean, it took him. He was basically looking through God's Word and studying God's Word, meditating on it, focusing on it for about 3 months. And then at the end of that, his conclusion was, God was right. Of course, God was going to be right whether David thought he was right or not. But David understood. We didn't do it in the proper way. And that's important to God. You know, we hear that today. Well, what difference does it make how you worship as long as you're sincere? You know, you can worship any way you want. Well, that's kind of the same attitude. But God cares. God's concerned about what we do. If He tells us the way He wants it done, then that's the way we do it. I know it didn't work. You know, when I was growing up, my dad told me to do something a certain way. Well, I thought I probably had a better way of doing it. But you know, that didn't matter. Not in the least. So, we have to do it in the proper order, the proper way, the right way, God's way, whatever we might want to call it. And it's important. And it's a message our religious world needs greatly. Regardless of what aspect of God's Word we're talking about. You know, it is, after all, the Word of God. It is not the Word of man. It's not ours. I didn't write any part of it. God did, and so He's the one that has the authority to write it. And I don't. And so I think that's another tremendous lesson for us to learn. So, the answer is always in the Word, I guess, is what we're trying to say. The answer is always in the Word. And that's where we always have to go back to. Whether it's about how God wants to be worshipped or how one is saved or what happens after death or whatever. How does God want me to treat my wife or my kids or the person I work with or whatever? The answer is always in the Word. And we just have to keep going back to the Word, to the Word, to the Word. If I keep going back to my ideas and my opinions and what I think is right, then I'll put the ark on the cart. That seems like a good way to move the ark. Put it on a cart and let some cattle or horse pull it. That seems like a good idea. God didn't think so. Well, Lord willing, we'll get back into chapter 6 next Wednesday evening.